And when it comes to spiritual warfare, that the scriptures, that is the Bible, is an important part of you and I being able to withstand the dangers of the devil. You and I have been called to a lifestyle as believers, those of us who are saved, a lifestyle of standing against Satan. And that is that we are involved, those of us who are in Christ are involved in real spiritual warfare. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 6, that's why we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's why we need to put on the whole armor of God, is so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That we're not battling against flesh and blood, but instead we're battling against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, our battle is against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that is a spiritual warfare that we're involved in. The devil and his demons are behind it, and they've developed a world system through which they operate. And we're also carrying around this sinful flesh that the devil lures and tempts and draws out. And so for that reason, you and I have to be on guard, and we have to be standing against Satan and all the time. This means understanding the devices of the devil. We need to have an understanding, like Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians 2:11, an understanding about the devices of the devil, how the devil operates. It also means withstanding the dangers of the devil. That is, if it's true that the devil is like a roaring lion and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, then we are indeed in dangerous territory when it comes to spiritual warfare. And for that reason, the Bible tells us that we need to resist or withstand. As a matter of fact, Paul uses that very word in Ephesians 6:13. He talks about withstanding in the evil day. And that is in the day of attack, when the evil one is attacking, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been called to a lifestyle of standing against that and to keep on moving forward in the face of that enemy attack. It's the picture of an army moving forward, and we're not backing down, we're not backing up, we're not going to quit. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to slow down, and we're going to keep moving forward with the gospel, and we're not going to quit doing what God has called us to do, and what it is He's gifted us to do and equipped us to do, and what He has saved us to be and to do, no matter what, no matter how difficult it might become, that we're going to keep moving forward, following our Lord Jesus as our great example, keeping our eyes on the one, ladies and gentlemen, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Keeping our focus on Jesus, we continue to move forward. We have a great champion, and that is a great warrior who's come and defeated the devil, ladies and gentlemen, in his own territory by his death and resurrection and ascension, and now seated at the right hand of God on the throne that you and I can come boldly to find grace and mercy to help in all of our time of need so that we can live victoriously. Our great King, that is the one who is the King of this kingdom we became a part of, has provided what we need to be able to withstand the dangers of the devil. Now, we've been discovering in this series of messages, we've been discovering from the Bible, going to various places in the Bible, and have been discovering what all it is that we have, what God has provided for us, so that we can withstand in the evil day, so that we can keep on standing no matter how difficult that it might become. We've discovered that submission is essential in James 4:7. We've discovered in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9 that steadfastness, resisting the devil, steadfast in the faith, is essential. We've been discovering, ladies and gentlemen, that God has provided us saints, the saints of God who are in the battle with us. We're not by ourselves, but there are others who are in the same battle that we're going through, 1 Peter 5, 9. And those saints are an essential part of what God has provided so that we can withstand in the evil day. We've talked about the strength that God has given us, that is in the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, that we can experience the strength or the power of God in our lives. We can be filled with the power of God. And that's essential for spiritual warfare. I've talked about the shield that God has provided for us in Christ, and that is referred to as the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. That armor has already been given to you. You don't have to go buy it. It's yours in Christ. All you have to do is just take it up or just put it on, apply it to your life. Just know that it's true and believe what God has said. There is the shield that God has provided for us. I talked about supplication. Now that you're a child of God, you can walk into the presence of God and you can pray with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians 6:18 tells us that's an important part of what God has provided for us so that we can withstand in the evil day. I've talked about the separation that we have in Christ. When God saved you, He set you apart. He separated you, and so now you and I can live a separated, a set apart life, set apart from the system around us, the world system, set apart from the sin within us, set apart from the strongholds that are upon us. God has set us apart, and you and I can live out that separated life referred to in the Scripture. I've said to you, ladies and gentlemen, that when it comes to withstanding in the evil day, selflessness is essential. We discovered that the reason why Peter became so demonically influenced in Matthew 16 is because of his selfishness. It was an open door for the enemy to attack his life, to try to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Listen to me now. If you're in Christ, when God saved you, listen, He put your old self to death so that now you can live a selfless life. And how liberating it is, how wonderful it is, ladies and gentlemen, for you to be able to live a life that doesn't focus around your selfishness. But now you can serve, that Christ can be the focus of your life and others can be the focus of your life and not yourself. Oh, listen to me now. Let me just say this before I keep moving. And that is, the most miserable person I know is the selfish one. If you want to get liberated from your misery, stop focusing on yourself and get your eyes on Jesus and get your eyes on others so that, listen to me now, you can have something to live for that's more important than you. Well, I'm just talking about selflessness. That is, we discover that surrender is essential when it comes, ladies and gentlemen, to withstanding the dangers of the devil. And in particular, we discovered that we're talking about surrendering our hurts and our offenses and our bitterness to the Lord. Ephesians 4 verse 26 tells us to be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There's a connection between giving room, place to the devil, and you and I allowing anger to build up on the inside of us that leads to sin. You got to surrender that to Him. Surrendering the anger, surrendering the bitterness, surrendering the offense to Him. It is essential. And so we've been discovering now for the last couple of services that Scripture is essential when it comes to being able to withstand the dangers of the devil. Now, I've touched base on this before when we was talking about the armor of God. We talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But we're emphasizing even more why it is that the Scriptures are so important. That if you and I are going to be able to withstand in the evil day, that if you and I are going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, if we're going to be able to withstand the dangers of the devil, if we're going to be able to resist and keep on resisting, then, ladies and gentlemen, the Scriptures are absolutely essential to doing that. When I'm talking about the Scriptures, I mean, and I said to you in the previous service, I'm talking about sticking with the Scriptures like God told Joshua to do in Joshua 1 verses 7 and 8. He told him to stay with the Scriptures, the law that God revealed to Moses. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, but you stay with the Scriptures. Sticking with the Scriptures. I've said to you that this means not only sticking with the Scriptures, but searching the Scriptures. That is, you looking diligently into the Word of God to discover the great truths of the Bible. Sticking with the Scriptures so that you're not distracted by them. Searching the Scriptures so that you have an understanding and are growing in the Word of God. I'm talking about being saturated with the Scriptures. That is, the Bible says to, God said to Joshua, it needs to be your meditation day and night. That is, the Scriptures need, listen, your mind filled and saturated with the Word of God. That is, growing in your understanding of the Bible. You say, Pastor, I have a little bit of trouble understanding the Bible. Then that just means you need to grow. Amen. It means you need to grow. Remember when you was in school and you had that first day of class, like some of the kids have just done recently. You had that first day of class and you opened up that book or you saw the syllabus laid out for you, what it is that you're going to have to do in that class. And you looked at that and you thought, I can't do it. There's just no way. When I was in college and seminary, I would call that syllabus shock. And that is, after you had that first class and you saw everything you're going to have to learn and everything you're going to have to do, you just walked away thinking it's impossible. You might look at the Bible and you say, I just don't understand the Bible. If you'll get into it now and start searching the Scriptures. then God will be able to open up your understanding so that you can understand what the Bible is saying, learning what the Bible, getting your mind controlled by the Word of God. Sticking with the Scriptures is essential. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that searching the Scriptures is essential. Being saturated with the Scriptures is essential. Being submitted to the Scriptures, Lord, whatever your Bible, whatever your Word says, be it to me. I'm talking, ladies and gentlemen, about standing on the Scriptures, not being moved away from the Bible for no reason. I'm talking about sharing the Scriptures. That is sharing the Word of God with others, teaching and sharing the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where the real spiritual warfare is at. That's what the devil is trying to stop. He's trying to stop the sharing of the Scriptures. Listen, there's just not anything more important to God's people than the Word of God. It's important to us. It's so important that you'll get together on a Wednesday night just to come and hear the Word of God being preached. It's so important that when you get up in the morning, you want to get the Bible out and read just a little bit. It's so important that before you go to bed, some of you get it out again and you read a little more. It's so important that there are many people here at Eastern Gate at our church that you take the time to study the Word of God so that you can sit down with children, so that you can sit down in an adult class, so that you can share the Word of God with somebody else. It's just that important for us. You say, why is it so important? I said to you this past Lord's Day that it's because it's the seed that gave us life. 1 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that you and I have been born again. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been born again by that seed that was planted in our heart, and that seed is the Word of God. That is the eternal seed. The Word of God that lives forever is that seed planted on the inside of us. We discovered this past Sunday night that the Word of God is the food that produces soldiers. And that is a little bitty baby in the Lord grows up to be a great soldier for Christ. And the reason why is because they've been eating good. And the food that they've been eating is the Word of God. I said to you this past Lord's Day that the Bible is the light that exposes Satan. That is, it exposes his traps. It's the lamp that lights our path, ladies and gentlemen, so we can see the snares of the enemy. That is, the Word of God is. That's why it is so important. The reason why we know how the devil operates, the snares that he lays, is because we have the light of this book lighting our path. I've said to you that this book is the sword that cuts deep. It is a two-edged sword that pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This book is that important. Ladies and gentlemen, this book is the book, the Word of God is that breath that equips the warriors. The divine breath, the divinely inspired Word of God that equips the men of God and the women of God so that we can be mature saints of God that God can use, according to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. That's the reason why the Bible is so important to us. Now, I'm reviewing with you what we've already seen just in case you weren't here this past Lord's Day. So let me just also remind you that this book, ladies and gentlemen, is important to us because it is the guard that prevents sin. It is the guard that prevents sin. Maybe some of you wish that maybe you had a guard in your life that is that would guard you from sin, that would guard you from temptation. A guard in your life. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that God has provided that for us. Listen to what Psalm 119, verse 11 says. In Psalm 119, verse number 11, you remember this, don't you? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, why have you done that? Why would you hide the Word of God in your heart? Listen to the rest of the verse. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. In other words, here's what the psalmist is telling us, and that is that, listen, I want to be able to get victory over sin. Those areas of my life where I'm vulnerable to temptation and sin, I need somebody in my life, I need something in my life to be like a guard to protect me from sin. And the psalmist said, I found out what it is, and that is, it's the Word of God. And it's the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, hidden away in our hearts. The idea of hiding the Word of God in our hearts means that you and I, ladies and gentlemen, internalize the Word of God. That is, that we know what it says, and we believe it, we receive it, and we hold on to it. That is, we remember it. We've got it on the inside of our hearts. That is, we've internalized the Word of God. This is something that I don't want to forget. This is something that I want to hold on to, that I want to keep it treasured on the inside of my heart. Some of you, like me, and there are some things that you have treasured away on the inside of you, that is in your heart or in your memory, in your mind, that you are never going to forget. Some of those memories that you have, some of those things that you have treasured on the inside of you, they may be events that took place and which involves somebody very special to you. And you remember those things. It may be an event that happened in your life. It may be a person that means a lot to you, but there are some things you've got treasured away on the inside of you and that you'll never forget. Listen to me now. The Bible is saying to us here that if you want to have a guard in your life to protect you from sin, then you need to treasure, you need to hide in your heart the Word of God so that you have it treasured on the inside of you. This is something that I'm not going to forget. This is a scripture that I've got on the inside of me that I'm going to remember. Hey, this is a message that I can't forget. This is a Bible study that I can't let go of. That is, I'm going to hear it over and over again. I'm going to listen to it over and over again. I want to listen to the Bible being taught. I'm going to listen to the Bible being preached. I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm never going to get to the point that I don't cherish that, or that which is that's stored away on the inside of my heart. You say, Pastor, I just have a hard time remembering. No, you don't. Listen to me now. You remember what it is you want to remember. You remember those things that are important to you. I bet you that if I was getting ready to go to Walmart or Kroger's and I was asked one of you in this building or a few of you in this building, do you know where such and such item is in that store? You would know exactly where to tell me to go. And the reason why is because of the fact that you've been there a lot of times. And you know exactly what aisle it's in, which way to go to get there. Now, I wouldn't have any idea. I've got to look around and look around and look around. And when I go to a store like that, but there are others who know exactly. And the reason why is because that's important to you. That's what you do. You go and buy things from the store. There are some of you that have a job that you do at your work, and you could sit down and you could talk about it for a long period of time in detail about what it is that you know and what it is that you do. You've got it down. You know what it is. You remember it well. There are some of you that have special people in your life. Maybe they've passed on now, and you remember them and the things they said. I find myself often quoting those people in my life. It's often that I say to my children, well, this is what your grandfather would have said about this. And I'll quote one of the things that he said. Now, the reason why that I remember what he said is because he's so special to me. The same is true for all of you. There are things that you remember, and the reason why you remember them is because they're treasures to you. It's because they're important to you. It's because they're a real important part of your life. And that means that if the Bible is important to us, if the Word of God is important to us, then, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are going to internalize and remember it. We're going to remember what it is that we've read. Maybe not every single thing, but we're going to remember what we've read. We're going to remember what we've heard. We're going to remember what we have learned. Listen, hiding the Word in your heart means, ladies and gentlemen, that it goes beyond just the ear. You know, I hear a lot of things, and a lot of people tell me a lot of things, and I use this little saying sometimes, and that is some things that I hear that I just don't get a hold of. And that is, it goes in one ear and out the other. Now, sometimes that's deliberate on my part, and that is, there are some things that I hear that I don't want to remember, to be honest with you. And so I often tell my family members and those who are close to me, that's why God gave you two ears, and that is so it can go in one and go out the other. But sometimes, I tell you, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, people are telling me things that are really important that I shouldn't let get out the other ear. That is, I need to give me some cotton and stick in there or something to stop up that other ear so it doesn't get out, so instead it finds a place somewhere in this brain of mine to stay so I can remember it, so I don't forget it, so I can think about it, so I can focus on it, so I can internalize it on the inside of my mind and heart. Now listen, when I say that, I've got to clarify, I'm not talking about you just feeling good about it. Some people think that whenever I'm talking about internalizing the Bible, remembering the Bible, I'm talking about you just getting a good feeling from the Bible. Listen, a good feeling from the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, can be like going in one ear and out the other, and that as soon as that feeling is over, you forget about it. I'm not just talking about feeling good about it. I'm talking about learning and remembering the truth that you felt good about. Getting a hold of the truth, the concept, the principle from the Bible, and remembering it. Whether you feel good about it or not, you might feel bad about it because it might be touching on something that really you're struggling with, and it may not feel all that well. But listen to me now. Regardless of how we feel emotionally, we need to internalize God's Word. That is getting it on the inside of us so we know it, so we remember it, so we don't forget it. One of the things that I've discovered, for me anyway, and works well, I think, with most people, when it comes to remembering, and that is repetition is essential when it comes to remembering. And that is, whenever I was in school, one of the things that I did whenever I had a test, is that I would go over my notes that I knew the test was covering, and I went over it and over it and over it again. And the reason why is because repetition helped me to remember what it was that I needed to remember. The same is true with all of us. The reason why the some of you remember where everything's at in the store is because of the fact that you go there often. The repetition helps you to remember. The reason why that some of you remember whatever it is that you do, have done regularly, and you can sit down and talk about what you have done maybe at a job that you do, the reason why is because you do it every day or you do it often, and so you remember all of that. Repetition is important. Helps us to remember. As a matter of fact, when you're reading the Bible in Paul's letters, a lot of times he'll write to Timothy and the other pastoral epistles, and he'll tell them, put them in remembrance of these things. In other words, these are things that you already know, that you've already heard, but you need to remember it again so that you get it on the inside of you and you don't forget it. Remembering is important. Repetition is important. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, it's important for us. That is to just keep reading the Bible. That is just to keep on listening to the Bible being taught. You say, well, Pastor, I've heard that before. Good, then you get to hear it again. And the reason why is so that you can remember it. And the reason why you know that you heard it before is because apparently you found a place in there. And that's good news. Listen, if you hear something that you heard before and you know you've heard it before, that's good news for the believer. That means that you remember at least a little bit. You say, well, Pastor, I've heard about spiritual warfare before. Well, good. That means that you remember a little bit. You say, well, I've heard about this understanding and withstanding now for quite a bit. Good. Then maybe you're starting to remember it. Isn't that good? Listen, repetition is important when it comes to remembering. Listen to me. Let me say this to you. And that is those, ladies and gentlemen, those in our culture anyway that are geared towards, and our culture moves in that direction, that is geared towards having something new and exciting all the time, are living a vain lifestyle that I believe may well be designed by the enemy just for the purpose of distraction and entertainment. That is always needing something newer and better and something that is, you know, the lights are lit up and just to be able to, ladies and gentlemen, appeal to our desire to see and to know. God's people, ladies and gentlemen, ought to be digging into the Word of God. This book, ladies and gentlemen, has been around for centuries. This book, our textbook, just trying to learn more and more about the Word of God and what it says. Not so I just feel good about it, but so that I know it and understand it and how it applies to my life. When I go to the house of God, I don't need something brand new every time I go. I don't need lights flashing. I don't need the smoke burning. Listen, what we need is to hear the Word of God over and over and over again so that we memorize it in our hearts, so that we know the truth of it. and get it in our hearts. And the reason why is because it is this book, the Word of God, that is our guard against sin. That is, when I've hid the Word of God away in my heart, and listen to me, it guards me against sin. So I don't step into those traps that the enemy's laid. So I'm not drawn away by that temptation that the enemy is tempting me with. Because my life is fortified with the Word of God living on the inside of me. Now, this is not a new concept, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, this is an old truth that goes all the way back into the Old Testament and the Israelites. Remember when Moses gathered the Israelites together in the book of Deuteronomy? Flip over there for just a moment and I'll show it to you. And that is, Moses gathered the Israelites together, and this is the generation, the second generation, that came out of the land of Egypt. You remember the first generation came out, and they wouldn't trust God, wouldn't go into the land of Canaan. They wandered around for 40 years until they were all dead. And their children grew up, and they're the ones that are going to follow Joshua into the land of Canaan. Joshua, that great warrior. That is one of the great warriors of the Old Testament, the very one that God said to him in Joshua 1. He said, listen, don't let this word, the law, depart out of your mouth, but you meditate in it day and night, and if you will, then you're going to be prosperous and successful. You're going to be able to win the victory over the enemy if you'll keep your focus on this word. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to lead the second generation of Israelites into the land of Canaan. But before Joshua took over the reins of leadership, Moses, before he went to heaven, Moses met with that generation of Israelites, and he began to repeat to them the Old Testament law that Joshua was supposed to keep his focus on and that they were supposed to follow. He had received the law some 40 years earlier, and now he's going to repeat it again, the second reading of the law, the second giving of the law in the book of Deuteronomy to that generation. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, he spoke to them. In verse number 6, listen to what he said. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Do you see it? Oh yeah, just like we read in the Psalms. In Psalm 119 verse 11, I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Moses said, the words that I'm giving you this day, you got to get them in your heart. You got to get them on the inside. That is, it can't be just a hearing of the ear. That is, don't just walk away. Moses saying, don't just walk away after I get done speaking to you and say, well, that Moses, he sure is a great speaker. I love the way he does that. Don't you? The way he talks. I love the way he does it. He said, don't walk away and just be impressed with the way I spoke. He said, you need to get this, you need to get it in your heart. Internalizing God's truth. And then he said in verse number 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Get it in your heart so that when you go home, you can tell everybody at home about it. Are you hearing me? Hope you're listening well. Get this tonight in your heart so that you can go home and tell your kids about it. So when you're sitting in your house and when you're walking by the way, verse 7, and when thou liest down and thou rise, listen, when you're lying down and when you're rising up and when you're sitting and when you're walking, you say, well, that's just about everything. That's what he's saying. Go home and listen and talk to your children, those in your house, about the Word of God. Then get this Word in your heart so you can go home and talk about it all the time when you're at the house. Whether you're lying down or sitting up, whether you're walking, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, talking about what it is that Moses said. Wouldn't that be something? If you so internalized the Word of God that you heard taught in your class, as you so internalized the Word of God that you heard preached, may you so internalize the Word of God that you read in your Bible. So much so that when you're at home with your family or you're out with other people, that you're just talking about all the time. You know what the preacher talked about last Sunday, don't you? Some of you sitting there think, what did he preach about? You know what he talked about? And so you just start telling it. You start sharing it with somebody else. You say, well, I can't remember that well. Oh, but you can. If you get it in your heart. If you go over and meditate in it day and night. You say, well, I don't remember it all. Then you need to be writing it down. You need to go back and listening to it again. Getting it in your mind and in your heart so that you can talk to other people about it. About what God has been teaching you. In verse number 8, he said this. He in Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 8, "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes." That is, I want you to take the Word of God. I want you to write down on a little piece of paper or scroll or whatever you would have in that time period. And I want you to tie it onto your hands and tie it on your forehead. And wouldn't that be something? Just wearing the Word of God. You know, Orthodox Jews still do that, don't you? They still do. But ladies and gentlemen, it's more than just the articles that they wear. It's a symbol of the fact that the Word of God is so important to me, that I want everybody to know what it is that God has shown me. The Bible says in verse number 9, "Thou shalt write it on the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Yeah. The doorpost, the gates to your house, you got the scriptures written on that as well. It's that important to you. That is, that's how important it is in your life. It's central to everything you do. That is, you're remembering it so much that you not only can tell everybody in your house about it, but everybody goes by your house is seeing it too. Amen? Yeah. Going by your house and there it is, the sign, standing against Satan. Point number one, point number two. Oh, it's more than that, isn't it? But being able to internalize the Word of God so that you not only can talk to your family about it, but so your neighbors know about it. When you're standing out there by the fence, you know, by the gate, by the post of your house, and your neighbor's on the other side, trying to figure out if his grass is going to ever grow again. And you look out across the way and you begin to talk to him or talk to her, and guess what you end up talking about? You end up talking about the Word of God. Yeah, what you've been learning and what you've been studying. Because it's that important. It's in your heart. You've got it on the inside of your heart. Verse number 10 of that same passage in Deuteronomy 6 says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy father, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage." In other words, just what Moses is saying. One of these days, you're going to cross over the river and you're going to be in the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when you get there, you're no longer going to be living in poverty. You're going to be living in wealth. And that is, when you get there, you're going to be living in houses you didn't build, and you're going to be reaping from vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to be in a land flowing with milk and honey, and you are going to be wealthy. Listen to me now. One of the temptations that we have in times of wealth, ladies and gentlemen, is that we get our focus off the Lord. He's not the focus of our life like he used to be. That is, when this generation was wandering around the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen, all they had to eat was just manna. All they had to wear were the clothes on their back. They had nothing extra. They had just had what they needed for that day. They didn't have anything for the next day, just that day. And God provided for them through all of that horrible experience in the wilderness, their parents and grandparents dying off, and now there they are. And listen to me now, their life of poverty is just about over, and they're about to enter into that wealthy land, and they're going to win the victory over the enemy, and prosperity is coming their way. And listen, the temptation, the snare of the enemy, that is of the devil, ladies and gentlemen, the snare is that they would get their eyes off of the Lord, and instead their focus instead would be on their wealth. It's the same problem that we have today. Now listen to me. That is the snare of the enemy. Greed and covetousness will pierce you through with many sorrows. It is out of greed and covetousness that comes all kinds of evil. It's the root of all evil. When you get your eyes on wealth and money and materialism becomes more important to you than God and serving God and being what God wants you to be, then you've already got one foot in the snare. You say, "Well, Pastor, how am I going to guard against that? How can I guard against that? In our culture that is so greedy and covetous, how can I guard against that?" There is a guard that prevents sin. And Moses had been telling what it is. And that is this law that I'm giving you, the Word of God. You got to get it on the inside of your heart. Because if you'll hide the Word of God in your heart, it'll help you not to step into that sinful snare when you get into the land. Hope you're starting to see the principle about why the Word of God is so important to the saints of God. You see it again in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Listen to what Moses told the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 18. Therefore, he said, shall you lay up these my words in your heart. Listen to this. Moses said, the words that I'm telling you, hey, don't let them just go in one ear and out the other. You got to get them in your heart and in your soul. And again, he says, bind them for a sign upon your hand and that they may be frontlets between your eyes, on your hands and your eyes, so that you're always seeing them, and teach them. You shall teach them, your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them again upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Listen to this, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, if you'll remember the Word of God so that you can... Listen, if you don't remember the Word of God, then you can't walk with God. You won't know which way to go. You say, Pastor, I want to walk with God. Listen to me now. Walking with God is not a matter of just feeling good about God. It's a matter of making decisions that take you in the right direction. And the Word of God reveals to us the direction to go in. If you don't know the Bible, you're not going to be able to walk with God. If the Word of God is not hidden away in your heart, you're not going to know the decision to make. You're going to make a decision based, ladies and gentlemen, simply on finances, simply based on what it is that's going to prosper you, simply what it is, ladies and gentlemen, that is feels good to your flesh. But if you want to walk in the will of God, God may take you in a contrary direction than that. But you won't know that if you're not in the Word, and the Word is not in you. You got to know how to walk with God, and His Word reveals then. And here's why that's so important. Verse 23 of Deuteronomy chapter 11, listen to this. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you'll possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. And every place whereon the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall be your coast, shall your coast be. Listen, there shall no man, listen to this now, there shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you'll tread upon, as He has said unto you. In other words, God is saying, I will give you victory over all the enemies. No man will be able to stand against you. No enemy will be able to stand against you. And the reason why is because you're walking in my ways. And the reason why you're walking in my ways is because you have heard the Word of God and you've treasured it up on the inside of you. So you know what God is saying. So you know the direction that He is leading. Victory for the Israelites, ladies and gentlemen, victory for the Israelites depended. It depended on them knowing, internalizing the Word of God. The Word of God is like a guard to them to keep them from stepping into the snare that the enemy has laid. And the same is true in my life and your life as well. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, listen to these words. In Psalm 37 and verse number 30, it says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Listen to this again. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You ever been walking along and hit a spot where you start sliding? Oh, you, some of you know what I mean, don't you? Sure. Well, I remember going out mushroom hunting with my father when I was a boy. Those are some of the treasures I have on the inside of me. Me and my brother, we'd go out and we'd go out into a place where, that my dad knew well, and we would go out looking for mushrooms. And I remember walking those hillsides, and every once in a while you get on a hillside where the ground was a little bit soft, and you start sliding. Maybe it's a little bit muddy, and you start sliding. Now, me and my brother, we thought that was great. My dad didn't think it was so great. The reason why is because he knew what might be at the end of that slide, and he didn't want us getting hurt, and the reason why is because he had to go back home to mom. And so he would try to guide us and send us in a direction where we knew it wouldn't slide, but we wanted to slide. And my dad, he'd head up a hill, and we'd come right after him up that hill, and sometimes we'd hit a little muddy spot or a place where the dirt is loose, and we'd be sliding, we'd be spinning our wheels, so to speak, trying to get up that hill. Be sliding. You know, so there's been times spiritually you feel like you're sliding. You know what I mean, don't you? And that is, you're trying to move forward. You're trying to walk forward. You're trying to move forward for the glory of God. You want to grow and move forward. And you feel like that the faster you go, the more you slide. I mean, you're giving it all you have, but you feel yourself sliding. Some of you know what that means. Personally, you know what that slide is, that temptation in your life that you keep sliding back down. When you get down to the bottom, you say to yourself, I'm not going to do that again. No way. So you hit up the hill again. I'm going to grow and I'm going to get victory in my life. And you get about halfway up, and then before long, you find yourself starting to slide again. You say, Pastor, I don't know what the answer is. Let me read to you the psalmist again. The law of his God, talking about the righteous, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You want to stop the slide? Listen to me. You want to stop the slide? There's something that'll help you, that'll guard you. It's the Word of God. Not just hearing it with your ears, but internalizing it in your heart. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You say, I don't understand what you mean by internalizing it in your heart. Well, you know what I mean. And that is, you walk in the house, and when you walk in, it's your home and my house, my wife does all the cooking. When I cook, it's not that great. She does it all. The only reason why I would do it is if she wasn't available. But a lot of times when I walk in the house, sometimes before I ever get to the door, I can smell it. And then I open the door and walk in the house, and the house is filled with the smell of what she's cooking. I think, boy, I'm hungrier than what I thought. As soon as I smell that. And it's not very long till she's got a food on the table, and I'll go in there and help her out. I'll put some plates on the table and some napkins and maybe some silverware out on the table. And she's putting food on the table. Sometimes I ask her if there's anything I can do to help her, and she'll just look at me. She'll say, well, you can peel a tomato. Do that. And all the food's laid out. I've smelled it. I've seen how good it is. I've smelled how good it smells. And then I just go in the other room and I sit down and let her eat by herself. Oh, you know better than that, don't you? I get on my phone and I call up my friends. I say, hey, Jim, man, my wife, she cooked up a great meal. It smells great. It looks great. It smells great. And I get on there, send out a group text, and I tell everybody, hey, pray for me. I'm in the house full of great smelling food. It looks great. But ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, it's not until I sit down and eat that food, get it on the inside of me, that I've internalized it. It'd be like going to church and you go to your Bible study class, the women's Bible study, men's Bible studies, go to your Sunday school class, come to preaching service, and I'll tell you, it smells good. You see, that was good smelling food right there. I really like that. That was really nice. And you've seen others enjoying it. And you get outside the church and you call your buddy up and you say, you know what, that was a good service, a good Bible study. It was really good. I hope that maybe you can go online and listen to it. It was really good. And then as soon as you get to your truck or your car and you go down the road, it's not too far down the road. Maybe it's the next day. You've forgotten all about it. It smelled good. But you didn't get it on the inside of you. Internalize it. And that is getting a hold of the principle, the truth that's been taught, so that you remember what it was and apply it to your life. Now listen, the reason why we struggle with that is because that takes some effort and some work. It's different than sitting down in front of a television and watching a show. You see, that's what modern day churches are trying to do in our nation, is put on a show that makes everybody feel really well. But when they walk away, they don't have anything they can live with. What you and I need is we need the Word of God taught to us clearly, accurately, systematically, so that we can understand it, internalize it, get a hold of it, remember it, and apply it to our life. Otherwise, if we simply smell it and think it smells good, but we never internalize it, we may tell other people how good it smells, but we never get it internalized in our personal life, applied to our life, then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll walk in the wrong direction. We'll step in the snare. We will not be transformed in the areas we need to be transformed. We won't be corrected in the areas we need to be corrected, changed in the areas we need to be changed, so that we are protected, guarded against the sinful traps that the enemy has laid. That's what the psalmist is warning us about. One final passage, Psalm 40 and verse number 8. Listen to this. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That is, the psalmist is talking again about getting the law on the inside of his heart. And ladies and gentlemen, he connects that in this verse to doing the will of God. If I'm going to do the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If I'm going to do the will of God, then the will of God is revealed by the Word of God. The reason why I need to get the Word of God in my heart is so I can do His will. So I can do His will, not my will. That is not the will of the world around me, the will of the flesh and the will of the world. Listen, if you're doing your will, if you're following your will and not His will, then you are headed into the snare, stepping into the same snare that Peter stepped into, the selfishness that Peter stepped into. If you're doing the will of the world around you, that is what the world wants you to do, if that's the principle that is guiding your life, what the world is doing, that's what you're going to do. What the flesh, your selfish flesh wants to do, that's the principle that is guiding your life, then you are not walking in the will of God. Listen, if you're going to walk in the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, then the principles guiding your life cannot be the world around us, the flesh within us, but it's got to be this book, the Word of God. So that when it comes time for you to make a decision in your life, to decide what direction you're going to go, it's not the world around you influencing your decision. It's not the flesh within you. It is the principles that you've been taught from this book that is guiding you in your decision so you can walk in the center of the will of God. And listen, if you walk in the center of the will of God, then you have a guard in your life protecting you from the sinful traps of the enemy. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee? That's the reason why the Bible's so important when it comes to spiritual warfare. Do you know that there are people that have been in church all their life? They've heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. Song after song after song. That, ladies and gentlemen, have been led by their flesh into the very trap of Satan and are living in captivity at the very moment that I'm speaking to you. So how could that be? How many parents or grandparents or others have come to me and say, Pastor, I don't understand how it could be. They were in church, raised them in church. How could that be? Listen to me now. If the Word of God goes in one ear and out the other, and you don't internalize it, grab a hold of it, cling to it, believe it, and appropriate it into your life, you can step right into the snare of the enemy and being taken captive by him. That's the reason why it's so important, this book, the Word of God. Reason why it's so important to get it internalized in your mind and in your heart. So it is the guiding principles, that your principles, that your purpose is guided by the Word of God. This book is essential if we're going to be able to withstand the dangers of the devil. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word, what you're saying to us. I pray that you work your work on the inside of us. We need your help. And Father, I pray that you would give us direction. Lord, we need it so much. Everyone here, Father, God, you're speaking to hearts. You're working in lives. Father, there may be individuals who've been listening, who've been in this room, who can be listening even later on. Father, the word of God has taken a back seat in their life. God, I pray, Father, that you'll do a work of correction on the inside of us, that we'll see how important it is to study this book, to internalize this book, to memorize this book, how important it is to hear the Word of God preached and taught. God, not just once or twice, but just constantly hearing the Word of God. That there's not anything more important in our life than hearing the Word of God. Lord, would you bless everyone here at every point of need? Would you give them victory over every struggle? I pray that you bind every demonic interference off of their life. And we're going to give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.